Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of the Ocean View Podcast. No matter where you're at in our country or around the world, we thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Now sit back and enjoy this week's message.
Good morning. My name's Aaron Bauer. I'm the children's pastor here at Ocean View. Terry, our pastor, lead pastor, he is actually in Florida today. His wife's grandfather passed away, and so he had the opportunity to go there and celebrate his life by leading the family through that time together. So if you think about it, please pray for them during this time. They're celebrating his life, but they're also obviously in mourning. So Terry called me this past week while I was in Kenya, because that's where I was, and said, hey, would you be up for just sharing for a few minutes as we celebrate the Lord's communion supper today? I said, absolutely, no problem at all. I didn't think through the effects of landing last night from Kenya and then being here today. So a disclaimer on the front, okay, a disclaimer on the front. I've spent the last 8 days in Kenya, and I've seen so many things. I've seen so much, and so my heart's overwhelmed. My body's tired. And God is still revealing things to me as I decompress from that trip. So I'm saying all of that to let you know up front that I am unstable today. There is a tissue under my Bible, should I need it. When we sing songs like we just sang about death being arrested, about people who were literally dead and now made alive, I have seen that. In the last 8 days. So there we go. Today we are celebrating what Jesus has done for us. Next week is Easter, and today we're going to take a moment at the end of our time together to just pause and reflect on that and to celebrate what that sacrifice means for us. But before we do that, I wanted to share something with you guys, and it's not necessarily a lot about my trip. It's just an idea that I had the opportunity to share with a church last week. The church's name was Dandora. It's in Kenya. It's a beautiful, beautiful building of a church, but obviously a church is people, and the people there are so beautiful to be with, and the joy that they have. And it is in the middle of a slum. When I say a slum, it's a slum. I don't know how to describe it to you. It would be a place that you would not go unless directed to. This is a place that sits in the middle, and it is surrounded by flowers. And the pastor says we want to keep it beautiful because we want to make sure that people have a beautiful place to worship an amazing God and to forget where they live so that when they come here, that's removed and they can just focus on him. And so it's beautiful, beautiful people. So I had the opportunity to speak to them last week, and I didn't even know what to say. I didn't know what message to bring them. And when I was given that opportunity, God said, well, what would encourage your heart? And so I don't have time to share with you the entire message, but I did want to share just a couple of ideas from it with you guys today, because it's something that I think is still being revealed to me in my own life, and we just sang about it. So today I want to take us to Luke chapter 15 for just a few minutes. This morning, I was riding in. I have the amazing neighbor beside me in my neighborhood. Right next door, I have our discipleship pastor lives there, Jim. And I have a great opportunity every Sunday morning to ride together with him here. And he asked me, he said, hey, so what is your like big takeaway? Like what is the big thing that you're going to take from this trip? Like, and I said, I don't even know where to start with that. He said, well, what about you personally? Like, what has God done or showed to you personally? And so this morning I said, well, here's how I kind of wrap it up. Our idea, our view of God is really small. My view of God is really small. And that's coming from someone who grew up in church, someone who should know better. My view of God is too small. My prayers aren't big enough for the God that I pray to. He is capable of so much, and I don't ask him enough. And where does that idea come from? And I think it comes from this just wrong thoughts, wrong viewpoints, incomplete ideas, incomplete living about who God is and who He wants to be in us. And it comes from this idea over and over and over and over in Scripture. God refers to Himself as Father. He's our Father. Jesus calls Him Father. Jesus calls God Father so many times, and He calls Him Daddy, and He loves Him. And there's this idea that this relationship between fathers and their kids are really, really special, really, really significant. And yet, in our world, even in Kenya, here, anywhere you go, someone has an idea of Father, and maybe your idea was wrecked because your dad was not a good dad to you. Or maybe your dad was absent. Or maybe, I don't know what your circumstances might be. Maybe he was too strict. I don't know. But I do know that we carry that idea of Father into our relationship with God, and we poison it. Even if we had really good fathers, we're going to see in just a second that maybe we're missing something incredible. So we're going to look at a story that Jesus told, because I think our ideas are messed up. My idea is messed up. It's incomplete. We have an idea of Father based on who our dad was, or is, or wasn't. And I think somewhere in our hearts and in our minds, I think God has put this other idea. I think He has put an idea of what a good father is. I think He has put in us, man, I know what a good father should be. And somewhere between the reality of what we've experienced and this ideal idea of God as Father, there's a big gap between the two. Some of us, maybe it's a little closer, but I think for those of us it's even closer, it's still really far away. So today I'm just going to try to bring us to a point where we can maybe close that gap a little bit. So we're going to look at some scripture. This is Luke chapter 15. Jesus told stories a lot. And I wish I had time today to tell you more about what God has done in my heart and everything. I just don't today. But listen, this is a story that Jesus told, and I think it illustrates this idea really well. So let's take a look. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. He said this. Jesus is telling this story. He said, a man had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, go ahead and give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son, he gathered everything together and he went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered it, everything. Now, when he had spent everything, a famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, that the pigs were eating, but no one was giving anything to him. Imagine this guy, he grew up in this amazing place with a really wealthy father. He grew up with this guy. And he says, you know what? I think it'd be better off if you were dead. So go ahead and give me my inheritance now. Let me go. And so the father does this. And he finds himself in a pig pen, just wishing he could eat the leftovers that the pigs didn't eat. When he comes to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I'm dying here with hunger. I'll get up. I'll go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was a still long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, put sandals on his feet, bring the fattened calf, let's kill it and let us eat and celebrate. The son of mine was dead and he has come to life again. He was lost and he has been found. And they began to celebrate. And I bet it was the best party ever. They haven't had a party that big in ages, and they haven't had a party that big since. Because he was lost and now he is found. He was dead and he was brought back to life. I want to spend just a minute looking at this son, though, because I think we can miss something. We are talking about a son who grew up with this father. I grew up in church. I should know better. And yet, when we find ourselves a far way off, when we find ourselves in a pig pen, when we find ourselves just just realizing and coming to our senses that we need God, and whatever that might be, whether you've never had a relationship with Him, maybe you've had a relationship with Him for a very long time, but there's going to be a point, maybe you're there today, where you realize, I need to come to my senses. And in that moment, you start rehearsing. You start thinking about, what can I say? Because that's what that son was doing. He said, man, if I go back, maybe my dad will take me back as a servant. Maybe I could at least eat what the servants eat, because they eat way better than these pigs do. Maybe I could go work for my dad. And I bet that whole way home, he's rehearsing in his mind that speech. He's rehearsing in his mind, right? I'm going to say, I'm not worthy to be your son. I'm going to say that maybe, would you hire me? I'm sorry. I made a mistake. What's he going to do? And he's probably thinking through all the scenarios of what that would be, right? Because he knows this guy. He has seen him deal with other people before, or at least he thought he has seen how it was handled. And so he's thinking, well, he's probably going to be really mad at me. And so he might just say, get out of here. He might say, go away. He might say, there's no place for you here anymore. He might say, no, I don't want you to be a servant. He might say that I'm dead to him. He might not even recognize me anymore. He might not even talk to me. I don't even know what's going to happen. And he's just playing this out in his mind over and over and over and over again. And then when he shows up and he has his speech ready, did you notice what happened? He didn't get to finish his speech. He didn't get to finish it. It didn't even cross the father's mind to have him come back as anything less than a son. Nothing less than that. The father stops him in the middle of his rehearsed speech and says, you're home. Welcome. And he gives him a big hug and he throws him a really big party. It's amazing to me that this son grew up in this man's house and had no idea how loving and gracious and compassionate his father really was. And I look at that, and I look at my relationship with God, and I think, what do I not know about you? There has to be something that I don't know about him. And even though I have loved God for a long time, it's not just me loving him. Now it's him loving me and accepting me where I am and saying, listen, it doesn't matter. And my idea, my view of God is so small, and I am coming to my senses today. After being in a pig pen. And I'm coming rehearsing my speech. And I'm asking God, maybe if I do something for you, then you'll love me. Maybe if I change something about myself, you'll love me. Maybe there's something I could do and you would love me back the way you used to. And God says, no. You're forgiven. Come on. You're my son. You're nothing less than that. He calls us his own. There's a passage in Galatians that says this. Paul writes this. At the right time, God sent his son Jesus. A woman gave birth to him. He was born under the authority of the law. That means he came at a time when people were cast out, when people were abandoned, when people were orphaned, when people, if there was something wrong with you, we just kind of dismiss you. And he came to set free those who were under the law. He wanted us to be adopted as children with all the rights that children have. Because you are his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son, Jesus, into our hearts. He is the Holy Spirit, and by his power we call God Daddy, Abba, Father. Because you are his children, he gives what he promised to give his people. At one time you didn't know God. You were slave to gods that really weren't gods at all. And listen to this, but now you know God. But wait for it. Even better, God knows you. That's incredible. We're celebrating today the sacrifice that Jesus made. Next week on Easter, we're going to celebrate his life, but today we're going to take a moment and we're going to pause and we're going to reflect on the sacrifice that Jesus made to call us out of darkness and into light, to call us out of death into life, to call us out of a place of no hope into a place where there is abundant life, out of a pig pen and back home. This is something that Jesus himself instructed us to do. He said, listen, there needs to be a moment, there needs to be a time when you just pause and you reflect and you think about who I am and you think about who you are, and that gap that exists, it's closed because of his sacrifice. So we're going to pause for a moment today and we're just going to remember that. He said that when we do this, it's a way of displaying his love to us. It's a way of remembering that sacrifice that he made for us, that sacrifice that we sang about just a while ago. And I don't know what it's like for you, but when I get to these kinds of moments and I take a moment to just pause, sometimes I'm like, I think I'm good. I don't think there's any hidden sin. By the way, there is. I don't think there's anything there that I need to forgive anybody for. There might be. I don't think I've wronged anyone. You might have. We're just going to pause for a moment and find ourselves somewhere far way off. But just remember, Jesus paid the sacrifice so we could be welcomed home. Not something we could earn, something we just get to enjoy. So whatever speech you've prepared or rehearsed in your heart, you don't need it. He's going to give you a really big hug and throw you a really big party. I'm going to ask our team to go ahead and come forward. We're going to prepare to take the Lord's Supper. There's two things that we like to just remind people of when we do this. And that is this. The first one is, when we do this, we want to come to the table, because it is a table that Jesus invites us to do this. We want to come to the table with clean hands. We want to come to the table with that moment, that pause in our hearts that says, hey, what's in your heart that maybe you need to bring to God, and just come with clean hands. I already told you mine. You don't have to say it publicly. Mine today is, my God's too small. I've put him in a box. He's much bigger than I have believed him to be. His grace is deeper than I have ever recognized. His love is more complete than I have ever known. And I still have a long ways to go, but he is ready to welcome me back to him. So come with clean hands today. It could be a relationship you had with somebody else that needs to be restored. It could be a relationship with God. It could be that you're not telling other people. I don't know what it is for you. Come with clean hands today. The second thing I'll tell you is that it is a family dinner. This is something that Jesus told his disciples to do, his followers to do, those who have accepted him and accepted his forgiveness and are at that table. This is for you. If you're at a place right now, and I cannot assume in this room that everyone here has a relationship with Jesus personally. If you don't, that's fine. There is no judgment. I'm not going to judge you. The Father didn't judge his Son. We're not going to judge you. But we would just ask that you just, when it comes by, just pass it to the next person. There's nobody's going to be like, oh, he didn't take any. It's not, just pass it. We're not going to ask you to do something that goes against who you really are, okay? So just pass it. But if that is you, and you want to have that conversation, you want to know more about this Jesus, you want to know more about how to have a relationship with him, then after this service, just come hang out for a while in the commons, or go to the conversations room. There's people who would love to have that conversation. Just grab somebody and say, I want to know more about this. We're going to pray. And as it's being passed out, you can have a moment there to reflect and just ask God to reveal something to you that you need to confess, or just spend some time talking to him. And just remember, he's a good father. He's so good. You guys pray with me. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for telling us a story that we can connect with. God, forgive us for thinking that we know who you are when we really don't. And for some of us, even after spending years with you, we prepared speeches, and you're just ready to welcome us back. Thanks for calling us your kids, for giving us your name and all the rights that your kids get. God, thank you for Jesus and his sacrifice. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to remember him through this. God, look in us now. Reveal to us, your people, anything that we need to wash out, that you can wash out. God, give us clean hands, clean hearts. God, if there's anyone who doesn't know you personally, God, I ask that they would seek someone today, that your Spirit would prompt them to find someone to tell them about you, that they could know you. God, bless our time together. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information about the ministries at Ocean View, or if you'd like to speak to someone directly, you can visit our website at www.ovbc.org. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.